fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about God's plan and purpose for each and every one of us. Summarize, I've been talking all week, in understanding the universal call to holiness and the universal call to mission. The Second Vatican Council, the Fathers of the Council, really summarized for us so clearly what God's ultimate purpose and plan is for each and every one of us, sort of the big picture. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them, put them on your iPod, listen to them when they're convenient for you. Our television shows are there. I also want to remind you tonight on EWTN television at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is Crossing the Goal. It's also going to be on Sunday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Monday morning for the early birds at 6:30 as well, Eastern Standard Time. Well, yesterday I talked about, answered really a question that Paul was asking the community in Corinth, and he asked each one of us as his word is passed down to us, don't you know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? The Christian life is a new life in the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. The work of salvation is God's action. Holiness, as we talked about, is God's action. Jesus gives to us a share in his holiness. Lumen Gentium chapter 40, I read this yesterday, talking about how this holiness is communicated to us. It's from the person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Christ himself stands as the author and consummator of this holiness of life, the document says, but quoting now the New Testament, quoting Christ in the Gospels, but you therefore are to be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're called to perfection. What is that perfection? To become perfectionists? No, we're called to be perfect in love. We're made by love. We're made for love. Fallen creatures can't do that. We can't do it on our own. What we need is to become a new creation in Christ. And that's possible through the shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who purifies us, who gives us the Holy Spirit, and gives us a new capacity and a new power to live a new way of life. The document goes on and said, yes, indeed, he sent the Spirit upon all men and women that it might move them inwardly to love God with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love their neighbor as Christ loves them. So the big picture of what does God want to do in my life? He wants to form you and conform you to the image of Jesus. He wants you and I, each one of us, to love God, love the Father, as Jesus loved the Father. And he wants us to be able to love our neighbor as Jesus loves our neighbor. That's pretty radical. It's impossible for us to do. Think about all the people that you really have a hard time loving. It's even hard to love people who love us. Not to mention, we're called to even love our enemies. That can't be done on our own resources. There's just too much pride. There's too much weakness. There's too much sin and envy and jealousy and the rest of it that's in the human heart. That's why Scripture is clear. What has Jesus come to do? He's come to give us a new heart. Our lives are so full and so busy that we can lose track of the fundamental thing that God wants to happen in each one of our lives. We can be focused on all the details of every day and forget accomplishing all the details is a good thing. And sometimes it's a very, very important thing. But it's not even the most important thing. The most important thing each day is that I walk with God, that I remember that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the reason the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in me is so that I can become like Christ. I can become another Christ. I can become a saint. Each day is that school that I enter into, that the Holy Spirit is there to teach me, to guide me, to empower me, to forgive me, to encourage me when I need it. But it's all about walking now in the footsteps of Jesus, living a new way of life. And then section 40 goes on to say that then too, by God's gift, they, that is each one of us, must hold on to and complete in their lives this holiness they have received. They are warned by the apostle to live as become saints and to put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. As I read those, ask yourself the question, is this what I'm like? Is this the condition of my heart? Is this how people experience me? Am I merciful? Am I kind? Am I humble? Am I meek? Am I patient? And then to possess, St. Paul says, to possess the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Since truly we all offend in many things, we all need God's mercy continually, and we all must daily pray, forgive us our debts. This is why Jesus, in giving us that beautiful central prayer of the Christian people, the Our Father, Our Father. Here's another great way to see the fundamental things Jesus wants us to be focused on. He said, he noticed when people pray, they pray for a lot of things. I need this and I need that. Help me with this, help me with that. We need help with finances. We need help with our children. We need help, all things that God wants us to bring to him. But many times when we pray, we're actually a bit anxious and we're worrying before the Lord. And Jesus said, let me help you. When the apostle said, Lord, we notice that you pray a lot. And when you pray, how do you pray? What do you pray? Teach us to pray. How does a child of God pray? How does a disciple pray? How should my mind and heart be oriented to God? What should I be asking of God? What's the most important stuff that I should bring to him? And that's what Jesus gave us. He said first, Our Father who art in heaven, address God as your Father, as your loving Father. I know some who are listening, maybe you didn't have a great relationship with your Father, and it's hard to imagine a loving Father. May the Holy Spirit heal the wounds in your heart, the Father wounds that are present in your life and in your heart and your mind from your concrete experience, and allow the Holy Spirit to tenderize your heart and to open your mind and heart to the merciful love of the Father and his compassion for you, that you're a favorite son or daughter that he's come to bring home to himself and to bring you to a safe place, a place of life and fullness and beauty and goodness, really to satisfy the deepest desires of your heart, maybe the things you don't even yet fully know and understand about yourself. But Jesus said, Our Father. The Holy Spirit wants to cry out in us, Abba, Father, St. Paul tells us. So we cooperate with that Spirit that's in Christ, that's been given to us. And that Holy Spirit in Jesus is crying out to the Father, Father, dear Father. Father, I love you. Father, I trust you. Father, what is your will? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, my first desire is to hallow your name, is to set apart your name, is to honor your name in the way I live, speak, act, think. That's my priority here. Help me, Father, to remember. It's not to get ahead. It's not to compete against everyone else. It's not to accumulate the most toys. It's not to put my name in lights. It's to hallow your name, Father, every day, how I live and what I do. And let your kingdom come. That is, let the rule and reign. So Jesus is saying, pray for the reign of God. Pray for the coming of the rule of God over your life. This is freedom. This is life. The kingdom of God means life. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. The fathers of the council remind us, and the catechism reminds us very clearly, this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The will of God is what God desires, that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Right there in the coming of the kingdom, and you know that his will would be done, the coming of the kingdom is God's reign and in receiving the commandments of the Lord and living the way of life of the kingdom. That's holiness. Father, we desire your holiness. We desire your way of life. We desire your commandments and statutes and your leadership in our lives. And may your will be done. Father, we know that you desire that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Put in our hearts a zeal for the salvation of men and women, a zeal for souls that was so alive in the saints. Here's a fundamental characteristic, friends, of growing in holiness, and a common denominator across the lives of the saints. That passion to be set apart, they heard Jesus say, you're called to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. They were acutely aware of how far they were from that on their own strength, but they were absolutely clear that God desired it, and that whatever God desires, he's able to do, and that God could bring about that perfection in their lives. So they pursued it. And then they travailed, they prayed, they fasted, they preached, they did everything they could to bring others to the knowledge of God, that they could come into salvation and find their identity and their fulfillment, their destiny in God, in Christ. That's the saints are for us, a living icon, an image, an incarnation of the very holiness that we're called to, that it's possible. And we're all on the same path. We're going in the same direction. Now, we don't know. When you look around, you see people. It's very important when Jesus says, don't judge other people. Don't judge where their heart is. Don't judge where they are in relationship fully to God. Only God knows. You can offer to them the words that God calls us to offer to people for salvation. But at the end of the day, only God knows how many steps people have made toward him, how many big steps that they've had to overcome in their lives and the walls they've had to climb. And only God knows. And God's merciful. And that's as it should be, that only God knows, because only God has a perfect love for them. We don't. We have love for some, and we have disregard for a lot of other people, and God's healing our hearts to be able to move us in that direction. So again, Jesus orienting us to the call to holiness and mission in the very prayer that he teaches us, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine if that was your deepest desire here. And on your five-year plans and on your in your life mission statement, in your pursuit of all your goals on earth, where does that fit? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, what I want to see is your will be done on earth. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to live for. So show me in my gifting and my vocation and my job, how can I make that happen? Give us this day our daily bread. That comes down. See, it's really about the first prayer as Jesus aligns us properly to the Father in prayer and say, pray for the most important stuff first. Keep first things first. He'll provide for you. Pray for your daily bread at some point. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Here, right in the Lord's Prayer itself, is this fundamental truth of the Christian life that the Spirit empowers us to do. Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. You will be forgiven as you forgive others. This is a condition. Jesus told St. Peter, Peter said, how many times, Jesus, should we forgive each day? And he said, seven times 70 times. 490, the number of fullness, no limit. You have received mercy, extend mercy. Forgiveness is a difficult thing. Our friends who work with us in Renewal Ministries all over the world, we gather together once a year, our country coordinators, and one of the things we always ask is, what did you see this year as the most significant obstacle to people responding to the work of the Holy Spirit in their life? And every year it's basically the same thing, unforgiveness. People are hurt, people are wounded, people are angry, they're bitter, and they don't want to forgive. And that stifles the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, remember, you have been forgiven everything, all right? So forgive. Freely you have received, so freely give. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. These are the things, these daily prayers, and not just with rote memory saying it, but praying those prayers, each phrase, each line, it helps orient us to that universal call to holiness and universal call to mission that the Lord has laid upon us. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.